Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, everyone. Thank you all for joining Baba Wetapa right here on People Power Radio. My co-host, and yet your boy, is not here on point just yet, but as y'all know, she's going to be here and do her thing, as always. We want to thank our special guest tonight. We got Sister Nicole. She and I have been talking pretty much before we got started, as well as Bridget the Cat 34. Again, we welcome all y'all. Several other lights have lit up. I can't recognize all of y'all, but I will say thank you, Georgia. Thank you, Minnesota. Thank you, Mississippi. Thank you, New Orleans, Cleveland. Oh, man, thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all for giving us an opportunity to come into your homes again. It's a blessing to all of us. Tonight, we're going to have a pretty good topic, and it's all about black-on-black crime. Stop it, stop it, stop it. That's my thing, that's my suggestion, and that's my reality. So again, y'all, well, again, we're going to talk about black-on-black crime tonight. Also, let me make a few announcements before we get started. We want everybody to know that this coming Saturday out at Ray Trent Park right here in Dale City, we're going to be doing a get-together where we're going to ask all political community activists to come together. We're going to ask that everyone come out and tell us a little bit about your social program, what you expect in 2023, and how we all can help one another. All that divide and conquer division, we're trying to get beyond that because that is shallow-minded, it's weak, and it helps no one but selfish purposes. Self-preservation is the first law of nature, but we must get through this thing all together. And let me say, on a lighter note, I hope that each one of you is staying warm and cool as you can be, because I know it's been in the hundreds down in Oklahoma, and I can just imagine places like Denver, Chicago, and places like that. My God, it's been really, really hot. Again, I'm Bob Wetapa, your host right here in Oklahoma City, right here, People Power Radio. We are the radio host and show. This is your show. We're just simply bringing it and making it available to each and every one of you. And Nicole, we want to thank you for joining us tonight, as well as wonderful young people with Bridging the Gap 34 right here in Norman, Oklahoma, and other places. We thank y'all again for joining us, and again, everybody else. Let me take a little bit and give a little bit of recognition to all our hosts, right, our guests, which are actually their hosts because they will be speaking as well. Let me recognition to Nicole, since you were here first, let's talk to him. What's going on in your world today? We'll wait to
I had a really good day.
Pretty
laid back and chill. Worked, you know, just got off about an hour ago, so.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
So now you ready to go kick on back and watch some TV or something. That's what you ready to do now.
I don't have time to watch TV. I can't remember the last time I watched a TV show.
Oh, really?
I'm too busy for that. Yeah, when I'm not working, especially since all of the stuff going on with Shed's case and stuff, when I'm not working, I'm working other things. I'm working some other way.
Right. Well, that's good. You know what? I tell everybody all the time, I love working. You know what I mean? When you work, things kind of shape around you. Because when you go after a thing and don't quit and you're motivated by it, it's going to come to fruition, or it's not. You're not going to let it not do you. You know, in other words, outdo you. You're going to make it come to you or else. You know what I mean? So that's what I think about when I think about progress. You know, so that's really great.
Sir.
All right, Bridging the Gap, who's on the line with us here? Who's that, man? Who y'all think y'all are anyway, man?
Hey, I'm back.
Hey, Don, what's going on now?
I'm back, man.
Hey,
how
Kevin?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we wonderful. I'm not bothering with Nicole. Nicole trying to bother. I ain't even said nothing to her. She's trying to tell me to get off the air and all that. Shut up and all that. I thought, okay, boy. Yeah. Well, y'all turn me up here, man. I'm about to get up out of here one of these days. You know. But now, seriously speaking, y'all, tell me a little bit about Kevin and everybody else is on the line. What's going on, man?
Man, you know, just coaching these kids and doing just organizational stuff every day. You know, me and Brittany, Fallon, and Zoe. Zoe couldn't be here today. You know, Zoe's feeling under the weather. We're working every day. You know,
she's
working every day.
Yes,
I will. I'll let you know. But yeah, we're working every day to make this world a better place.
Hey, brother, man, and you know what I told you, collectively coming together, hey, man, let's bridge this gap that y'all are talking about, man. Let's bridge the gap about I'm taller than you, I run faster than you, I ain't got no money you do. No, man, let's put our little feet and stay in our lane, put our little 2 cents worth in, and we can't go wrong. Yeah, all right. Anybody else online? Well, go ahead, somebody else want to speak, come on, talk to me. We want the world to know who you are, man. Y'all are everywhere. Y'all not just in Oklahoma City.
What's going on, Michael? This is Brittany with Bridging the Gap.
Hey, how you doing? Who are you?
Dang.
I know y'all who y'all say y'all anyway. I'm having fun tonight. Y'all know I must be pretty happy. I can't hear you.
Dang.
Yeah, you know, I might come down and check you coming down and check you one week. Yeah. I think I'm going to come out and check y'all out. I don't know what's you. I got to check you out, Brittany. You're something up with that, man. You done already told everybody I'm this little guy climbing up trees and eating up all the damn hamburgers and cookies and all that other stuff. No, don't let me start that, man. No. I'll take a rain check on that. I will. Yeah.
Well,
how's everybody doing,
okay,
though? Yeah, good. I'll tell you what,
good,
you know,
good.
This is what I'm saying. Go ahead, Brittany, say it again.
I was just saying good. Glad to be back.
Great. And you know what? It's good to have you all out here. I mean, this is a great thing here. Everybody's loving what we're doing, man. I mean, they already know when we got out into the topic. Right now, we're having fun. And matter of fact, people saying right now they're suggesting the way we're doing, getting the feel of knowing one another. As we know each other, they get to know us too. You know what I mean? So that's all about it. Yep. And then when the topic comes in, it's almost like it's a camaraderie. You know what I mean?
Okay.
All right. Oh, I see, man. Y'all done jumped up. Oh, man. Let me see that. Let me see if I ask her to get on. Let me see. Did I do anything wrong that she can get me for? Oh, let me see. Did I do something? Yeah. I'm just trying to make sure now. Y'all, hey, before you got here, they jumped on me real tough. So I'm just trying to wonder.
Oh, no. What you do to him? What you do to him, Michael?
Oh, Lord, I ain't done nothing. I just sit here. I ain't told him that. I ain't done nothing. I'm on distance. They try to say I came to the... Yeah, that's what they're saying. They say I came to this town and just took some stuff without asking. They say I went to Texas and all. I ain't done none of that. I'm just here.
Michael, I think you're making us some
sore. Yeah. Well, a little bit of something. Just a little bit. I ain't too much on it, man. Yeah, okay. Y'all got me. What's up, man? Y'all talking to me. How's your day going? What's up?
I say it's going very well. Just, you know, trying to be productive, you know, as much as I can. Make sure I get a lot of stuff taken care of. And stay on top of stuff, you know, as far as what's going on in the community. There's a lot going on. And plus, I'll be traveling to do some training, some firearm training. So, that's, you know,
where is that
going to
be?
You said what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, where is that going to be? The training?
Oh, it's gonna be on the East Coast, and then I'm going to the West Coast of August.
Wow!
To do stuff for training, so yep, trying to get prepared get licensed to help people out here and you know get people trained and certified out here in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Okay then. All right, y'all. Let's get to his show here for tonight's topic. Everybody been kind of anxious. They see that I'm not inclined to show y'all done laughed at me like I ain't nobody, so I'm going to move on for everybody to start getting on me or somebody else. Oh, man. Back on Black Crime tonight is our topic, everybody. Again, this is Bobo Wee Topper right here in Oklahoma City. My co-host, man, you got your boy. Yeah, boy. She's right here in Oklahoma City with me. We're on People Power Radio, and we have our illustrious, well-esteemed guest again, Bridging the Gap and Miss Nicole. How do you say that? Zagrati. Yeah, that gets me every time. Yeah. Oh, man. Y'all don't blame me, man. I ain't had my Wheaties this morning. I didn't wake up right. No. Stop, y'all. Black on black crime. Now, we hear a lot about police brutality, police shootings. We hear a lot about how police have jumped on us and all this here. But a topic that we've been seeming to not give much credence or credit to is the black-on-black crime that's being perpetrated and committed right in our own neighborhoods as we speak. As a matter of fact, according to statistics, there is 20 to 30 people being jumped on right now or shot down in some city as we speak by another black person. Now, believe it or not, of the last year, of the 19,000 shootings, I didn't say 1,900, of the 19,000 shootings this year, 62% of those were by black people against black people. I say this, y'all, it is very necessary for us to give the recognition and do what needs to be. I want everybody to know that blacks are not saints. Just like anybody else, we have some bad apples in our bunch. And like a lot of people, too, like a lot of nationalities, we have people now who can give one red cent for the life and protection and preservation of another human being. And because that is true, y'all, we need to step back and understand this here. Like a brother came on a couple of weeks, he'll be here, he already called me. He talked about how high the killings are in Chicago, and he's absolutely right. My own research has shown me, that 73% of blacks being killed in that city is by another black person. Wow, y'all. Did y'all hear me? With all the shootings and killings that's going on, even what the police has done to us, guess what? We kill ourselves three times than what the police is doing to us. And that's a whole lot, y'all. And we have to try to get to the point and get to exactly what's going on. Well, I'm saying that it must stop. And the vast majority of shootings and killings today is perpetrated by our teens and early adults. And matter of fact, 52% of those killings and shootings are done by somebody who knew you. Wow. Yeah, what's up with that? Talk to me. I mean, what do you think about what I said there?
I'll say, when you look at that, you know, and just really full, you know, take it fully in, you know, the facts, the statistics, you know, all those, it's very, very difficult to, you know, it's very difficult for us to say that we have that type of virus, because I've heard that come out of some people's mouth. So that's not, you know, we're not dealing with that, you know, it's really just them killing us, or it's one extreme or the other. It's, you know, it needs to be acknowledged as, these are two separate problems, you know what I mean? We already have gun violence when it, our community amongst each other, then we also have, you know, police brutality and, you know, police shootings, you know, unarmed black men and unarmed black women too. But when it comes specifically to this, we have to address it, you know, in a couple of different ways, you know, education-wise, you know, parenting, you know what I mean, portions because I've had, you know, I've heard situations here locally of, you know, of teens shooting and killing each other. You know what I mean? How did they get a gun in the first place? You know what I mean? How did you leave them unsupervised and didn't know where, you know, your child was? You know, things like that happen in our community. And then just overall gang violence in general. We got to stop it at the root. We can't, you know, let, you know, this society and the brainwashing get to our youth so early to where that they turn to the streets, turn to gun violence to solve their problems amongst each other versus how when I grew up, we just went aside. You know what I mean? We got into, you know, fought, never talked about it. It almost pulled us together, and then we got over it. You know what I mean? And became friends. Nowadays, it's not like that. Nowadays, they're killing each other and shooting, you know, killing innocent people in the process. So we got to address it, you know, and it's a couple of different ways we can come about doing that. But it takes, you know, takes all of us.
I absolutely, man. You want to piggyback on that, Miss Brittany, Mean Lady Washington? You got something you want to say about that now?
Oh, man, I'm sweet as pie.
Okay. But, y'all, I hope y'all get that out of here.
You know, I think that addressing this topic tonight is very prevalent for what's going on in our communities. We do like to address the police brutality a lot more than we start to look at our own community. But yes, I hold us equally accountable for our own demise when it comes down to black-on-black violence. You know, you have so many kids that are growing up without parents, and also parents growing, you know, getting older without being able to have their kids bury them, but they're burying their kids at a higher rate. And I think that, you know, we have to show up for these injustices as well as when another race kills us. We have to show up for ourselves. We deserve more than just being put on T-shirts and a candlelight vigil with a balloon release. We deserve justice,
yeah,
too. You know, you might you might show up for the protest when it's you know, police brutality going on, or, you know, the abortion line, things of that nature getting overturned. But you have to also show up when you have two black young men that are from different neighborhoods that don't know proper conflict resolution, and not just black men, but black females as well. You know, we have to take, we have to get back to peer mentorship. You know, we had a caller on last week, and he spoke about, you know, just being active in his household. But my question is still standing this week. What about the rest of the community? That's just your household.
Right, right.
And sometimes it requires being a mentor to kids that parents are in jail, or their parents are deceased, or they're on drugs. We have to also be mothers and fathers, aunties and uncles to them as well. It's bigger than our household. It's our city.
You're definitely on point. Oh, man, I tell you what, you know, Brittany, you're absolutely right. Just like Beyonce, see, y'all are mirrored. You said the same thing on a different level toward one another, but when you go around that circle and come back around, guess what? That same point is meeting at the exact spot where you started at. I don't know how you go twisted at, northeast, west, or south. Kevin, what's up, man? What's happening? What you think about all that, man?
Hey, so I just wanted to read off some stats.
Come on.
That is very so I think the root of black-on-black crime, how we've been saying it, starts as a child. You know, there's only 2% of teachers that are black males in the United States. So, you don't have that leader, like, as a kid, you know, it's all women.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, so women usually can't teach a man how to be a man. They can grow them, so they can only help them so much. So you need that positive male role model. You know, there's only 5% of blacks that are lawyers, 5% are doctors, 7% are electricians. You know, 57 of black youth are fatherless. You know, I mean, that's the problem, being angry. You know, me and my brother, who's incarcerated, he talks about being angry, you know, not having our dad in the picture as much, you know. What I found interesting, and so in 2019, there were 541 high school basketball players. Out of that 521,000, 24,196 played college basketball. 450 are on an average roster, an NBA roster, 450 people. And so most teams have about an 8-man rotation. That means about 240 people amongst that 450 will end up playing in the season. So there's 500 black youth competing for 450 spots. You know what I mean? In one particular sport. So once that happens, when they can't do it, I got to go to the street. Because, as you know, you're taught as a black kid, you know, you can either play basketball, play football, or you're rapping. You know, that's the only three things that we're doing. Like what I read, there's only 5% lawyers, 5% doctors, 7% electricians. We have to fill in that gap because everybody can't make it to the NBA. Everybody can't make it to the NFL. Everybody can't make it to overseas.
No.
So what are you doing to get past that? And I think that's really the root of black-on-black crime. You know what I mean? And even in the movies, there's 65% of black roles are gang related. So I mean, so like, what are we desensitized to death and gang violence that is just normal. So and you put the blacks in the worst neighborhoods, you know, the drug infested, disease infested places, of course they're gonna go crazy because there's no help. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's really of it. So once we get past that and really start helping on that, I think we can really make some true push in black-on-black crimes.
Hey, I say, bro, that's very, very truthful. And the statistics, man, are very frightening. When you just have, watch this one, when you just have 5 to 7%, and we make up 40 million people in the United States, wow, man. That is very, very scary. I only heard you say that we, as far as 7% was the highest percentage number, that you gave in relationship to doctors, lawyers, sports addicts, so forth and so on, and that is very, very frightening, y'all. Nicole, talk to me. What's up? What are you doing over there? I know you're in the background. What's talk to me? What's up there?
Well, I'll start by saying that I understand when Black people talk about this topic amongst themselves. I'm a Caucasian for listeners. You guys speak from a position of like endearment and engagement and wanting to better your community. I, on the other hand, have an issue from my perspective, and I don't like to hear specifically white people using the term. And it's not a term that I generally use myself, because the term was coined by Black citizens to address and discuss the violence taking place in their community amongst one another. But the term has been manipulated and hijacked by the far right-wing conservatives and has become a politically loaded arsenal for the right-wing nuts to justify whites killing Black people in the most immature, uneducated, and vile fashions, because they use, oh, look, well, they're doing it to one another, so why shouldn't we be able to do it too? And this is a narrative is never pushed in other races. We never hear terms like white-on-white crime or Latino-on-Latino crime. So my personal perspective is that most all same-race crime, including quote-unquote Black crime, has less to do with race and more so to do with proximity, accessibility, lack of community resources, and poverty.
That's right. And you said it. You know what? You just hit the point right on the head, which was the next thing I was going to say. It's not – watch this one, y'all. It's not the fact that Black-on-Black crime is being committed. But when you have a group of a society or nationality who's been enmeshed with racism, poverty, lack of education, lack of jobs, you tend to take it out on somebody who's close to you in your environment, because 9 times out of 10, let's keep it real, you're afraid to go outside your community because you know likely that you're going to be hurt, trampled on, shot down because of why. They got more military army forces like this. So what you do is that you take it out on the weaker of the community.
Because you lack resources, or you're on foot just because you lack resources.
Yeah.
So it's proximity to wherever you're close to. You're in your community. You're not going to walk all the way across town, you know.
Yeah, right. I see. Did y'all say somebody else with y'all, Kevin? I'm trying to make sure that I got him in there. Kevin, is somebody else with y'all?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm saying, was anybody else with y'all?
Oh no, it's just me and Brittany tonight.
Oh, okay, cool. That's why I didn't want to leave them out. Now, let me say this here to my co-host, Now I'm gonna be the devil's advocate. Well, I tell you what, man. Yeah, y'all might as well get ready. I'm gonna be the devil's advocate. Now, Nicole, y'all said some good stuff. But hell, don't y'all realize that y'all make up 62% and 73% of all the killings going on even amongst yourselves? Don't y'all think why now we police scared to death when we run up on y'all? Is that a justified excuse for us to kill y'all then?
Absolutely not. It's not an excuse to kill anyone. I mean, that's the point right there. That's why we have laws. We have things to protect us and to protect our people. You know what I mean? In front of their peers and, you know, to come out here and say that you deserve the people, you know, and honestly, I'm not even going to go in depth on that process because they let a couple people come through, don't have no good intentions to begin with, come in the force and then help cover up some of the things that they do. But I'm just saying, you know, they so-called like an oath to protect, and they don't do that. You know what I mean? And no matter what we do, if we're not posing an immediate threat to someone else's life or to ours or whatever, you know what I mean? That you don't have no justified reasons to force. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what percentage it is. That doesn't mean everybody. That doesn't mean every time you look at somebody with the same color skin as I have, or, you know, or anybody, any melanated or even Caucasian, still. You don't have no right to shoot them down. You know what I mean? You have no right to shoot them down. And that's the problem we have it now. when it comes to police brutality. They already say, you know what, they're killing each other already at high rates. You know what I mean? They don't value their own life. So we not going, you know, we don't really care about theirs. You know what I mean? Let's
yeah,
block
right.
this on and go on. You know what I mean? That some come already with an agenda, whether we accept that theory or not. But it's been proven time after time how these people are connected and they're already on their own agenda outside of the ones that just, you know, come out here and shoot us and kill us just because
mm-hmm.
we, you know, bear African descent or we have melanated skin. So, no. No, it's not a justified reason to shoot us down
okay.
because based off the percentage and statistics. Like, no, it's not.
So that's why I asked you that, because do you think that is the mindset of the officers? We're not getting off the top, but I want to say this here because a guy asked me the question. Do you think that these police see this here when they run into us that, okay, man, I'm pulling you over, you likely to kill me because, you know, y'all percentages are so high. I mean, y'all shoot each other. You in gang violence. Or what's going on? I mean, Brittany, how do you answer that? What may I just say?
I think that it's per police officer. I think in those situations, sometimes one can perceive it as it might be racially motivated. For police officers to have their perspective, and on the flip side, some might have their perception of, I really want to put my hand on my gun, but you look like you had a worse day than I did because you had to survive in the neighborhood you did.
Right.
You know.
Right. Okay.
And so I think it's just per situation. Because not only that, you still have it. Let's not think that there's not black officers that are also racist towards other black people, because that's a real thing as well. You know, you have the good cop, the bad cop showing out for the good cop and vice versa. So that's a real deal as well.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I say. Well,
hey, brother,
now,
can I pass it back on that question?
Come on, yeah, come on.
And so I was like, you know, every family had a little fight to end fights and everything, but that don't give excuse for somebody next door to come in your house and beat your brother up, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes some of our infighting is necessary. We got to have correction in our community. I think the lack of correction in our community is the big problem of the violence, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know what I'm saying, back in the day, your parents would whoop you, you know what I'm saying, when you did something wrong, so you understood right from wrong. You had big homies in the hood who could correct you, you know what I'm saying, because you couldn't do what you wanted to do. I couldn't be out on the hood past a certain time of night, you know what I'm saying, because of the elders in the hood. They'd make us go to school. So we don't have, when they took all our elders to jail, we didn't have nobody to be accountable to. It's just young, grown men throwing temper tantrums out here. And so, yeah, of course, we piled up on each other in the community, and we were most accessible to each other. Like, I heard a brother say, because I told him, I said, man, y'all ain't did one drive-by on the police station. Y'all shooting up each other. He said, man, everybody knows you shoot at the police. They got helicopters.
Real.
They got backup. You know what I'm saying? They know they could get away with killing somebody to look like themselves. And then I was listening to the other day, and they were talking about the scenario of what happened in South Africa. And the way that they sent the CIA in there to orchestrate it, to send these tribes up against each other so that they could be able to come in and take the resources. So we can't forget about how that happened. You know what I'm saying? We gotta look at the political, like the Black Panther parties and the US organization and the misinformation that was sent back and forth. We got to look at how Larry Hoover and them tried to convert to political stuff and went to jail for, really, he went to jail for that. He didn't go to jail for the killing he was doing. So it's like some people that look like us operate and work for the system to perpetuate this stuff, you know what I'm saying, where it looked like black-on-black violence, and it's really a black hand working for the white system.
Woo, now that was showing up, Diva. Black hand work for the white system. Wow. Man, anybody want to comment on it? I like that one now, but hold on just a second. Now, table that, y'all. A black working for the white system. Nah, that got me right there. I'm going to hold on just a minute, y'all. Let me take a station break. And we definitely want to get back to that. This is my late friend, my illustrious, beautiful sister, Whitney Houston. We'll be right back, y'all.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for heroes. People need someone to look up to. Never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Somebody, I'm trying to tell that guy to shut whoever that crazy man was. He needed to be in a crazy house somewhere. They need to strap him down. Okay. He missing something, sir. All right. This is Baba. We're talking right here in Oklahoma City. As y'all know, we're feeling good tonight. We're just having fun, man, letting everybody get involved. We're right here in Oklahoma City. People Power Radio, my co-host, Man Yacht, and your boy. We have several other well-esteemed, well-welcome guests. And we're talking tonight about black-on-black crime. We need to get our real community leaders, motivators, thank you, John, for tuning in. We need to get our real community leaders, pastors, business folks, government officials, private citizens. We all need to step up to the plate and knock a home run out of the park, the ballpark, y'all. Now, before we got off the air, the brother was just talking about the black hand being used by the white favor. How'd you put that, man? And how'd you put that, brother? And I want everybody to tell me what that's talking about.
The black hand being used by white supremacy or something to that effect.
Okay.
But I was thinking about, you remember that movie Undercover Brother, and they pinned his eyes open and had him watch all this white stuff to get him culturally, you know what I'm saying, to took control of him, and he was completely engulfed. He was eating mayonnaise and everything, you know what I'm saying? And
this is
what happened to us so much. You know what I'm saying? We hate ourselves so much, and we hate everything that looked like us. And so it's like Uncle Ruckus from the Boondocks, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We deeply conditioned to hate anything to look like us because we want to, we think being more like the white man, more like the colonizers.
The power leaders, the power brokers. You know, y'all right, man. That's absolutely right. I see another brother. Who is that 476 just popped up, man? I got a couple more on here. Who is this? Now, y'all don't have to speak now, but y'all see you on now. We're just letting you know we want to recognize you because you're in our call room now. That's why I'm recognizing. We have about 10 on our call room, and then we have rest on our outside. So, come on, Kevin. Talk to me now. What's up with that, man? I mean, excuse me, 476. Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead, Kevin. I guess we can get him back again. He's still on. Go ahead, Kevin.
What he was saying, I think, is, media. You know, that's a big thing, jobs, playing by the white hand. I think it's all amongst those things. Another thing that we have to focus on with black on black is jealousy. You know what I mean? That's a big thing.
Did you know
Now, who is that? You need to mute your music, whoever that is. We can't hear you while we're talking. All right, go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just saying that jealousy. Jealousy is like one of the biggest things that deters black people from ever gaining any type of success. We, you know what I mean? And another thing, what he said about the white hand, you know, we're taught that light skin is the prettiest. You know what I mean? That the white dog is prettier than the black. Yeah. All in this, that, and the third. And, like, and you know, and when you get taught that stuff, you just grow up thinking that. Like, you know, it's just natural. It's just normal. You know what I mean? And that all plays a hand in that system that he was talking about. And, you know, and I think, and, you know, we're taught at an early age to hate us. You know what I mean? Like that black skin is ugly. Like the part of ugly you are.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know.
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like, and, you know, and I think that's one of the roots of the problem. Like I said earlier, like it starts at just at the youngest age. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it really does. But I really like his quote that the black hands with the white supremacists. I really like that because all the organizations.
That was really
you know, all the organizations came down, all, like, look who tore those apart. You know what I mean? Like, in the grand scheme of things, it was the white hands that tore the Black Panther Party apart. You know, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, like that.
Wicked government.
Yeah,
that's
I really love that. So, yeah.
But you know that's you know what, brother. Thank you for making a comment, and we definitely want to get Nicole out there because she's the basically only Caucasian on the show. But she's realistic. I love her talking. But we're gonna get with it in just a second. But let me say this here: y'all got to realize that our grooming toward hating one another was actually perpetrated on the slave plantation. Now remember, the slave master would pit the younger against the older, the father against the son, the mother against the daughter. The have versus the have-nots. So this created an environment of distinction. I'm better or you less than me. And naturally, the mother carried the child in the womb. Go ahead. Come on. What'd you say?
Willie Lynch.
That's Willie Lynch theory. Yeah, yes. But absolutely. But let me tell y'all something. That Willie Lynch and that little black bag that he had is still effective for more than 300 years when he first came to Jamestown, Virginia in 1712. Now, 300 years from that point would have been 2012 today. And we've gone on to that point. Our condition has not improved. And I want Nicole to tell me what is her opinion and how we're going to straight that out, being the Caucasian on the group tonight. Talk to me, Nicole. Talk to me. What are we going to do with it? Don't act like you don't know you're here tonight. And you're not eating either. Nicole, are you there? I guess Mia, you can take them until she get back. I think she's doing something. Mia, can you hear me? Am I not
home? Yeah, I'm here. I'm
okay,
here.
Okay, go ahead. I mean, I was just saying that we would.
Okay. I hear you, Michael.
I was saying that we don't.
To add on to that, you know, what the gentlemen were, you know, both saying, you know, yes, we do have a problem with, you know, jealousy in our community, and we need to address that because we actually, this is my perspective, my point of view, is if we're all fighting for the same thing, you know what I mean, if we're all fighting for the same end goal, there shouldn't be any jealousy. I'm not above you. That's how I try to think like that. I'm not above the people at all. I'm with the people. You know what I mean? And I feel like if everybody thought like this and everybody kept that respect, you know, we're fighting the same cause, you know, we are the people, because if anything pertains to a black woman or a black male, I'm black first. I'm a woman second, you know. So that's my perspective. You know, once we still humble ourselves and understand that we are still yet the people, then we can get some things done. And we won't have as much violence as we have now. We won't have as much conflict because of that, because of commonality, because we are, you know, all striving for the same thing. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be people that go against that. And that's where the, you know, what Comrade Jabari was talking about. You know what I mean? They use our people against us. You know what I mean? They use our people. They put them off. You know what I mean? Same thing that happened with Fred Hampton. You know what I mean? He got paid off to do what he did. you know, to have him killed. You know, he did all that for the love of money, for the love of security.
Right.
Security that they were giving him. So, yes, they use our people, whether they are in the police uniform, no matter what type of environment, you know, they're in or whatever. If they are susceptible to taking offers and to taking taking the white supremacist, Lord, I had a brain freeze or whatever. But, yeah, they're going to take that off ever because it's their immediate satisfaction, you know, right then and there. You know what I mean? Oh, well, you're going to do this for me. You're going to do this for me with the BAM. Okay, well, I can set up such and such. And that's the problem we have, you know, and because they are jealous and because of certain things that they want a position or they are in dire need of things that, you know, us, the people can help our the people get like food, clothing, shelter, stuff like that. You know what I mean? They go desperate and they give in to those things.
Amen.
To those, you know, just to survive. So it's a battle that we face and it's still going on. It may not be, you know, as bad as it used to be with, you know, people setting up people, getting people killed. But at the same time, it's still a problem. And even just the jealousy portion can escalate and turn into another situation like what happened to, you know, Craig and Tisha, you know. So we got to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
People have to address that. People, we have to understand that we are all fighting for the same cause and that I'm not above you and you're not above me. We are all still the people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were with that, mm-hmm. we can all, you know, come together and have some peace, but you know the powers that be like to divide us, like to make us think that one shade of skin is better than the other, even within our own community. You know, we have albino black people, we have black people of fair skin, we have black people of darker skin. You know what I mean? But they still like to divide us with that. So you know, it creates this light skin, dark skin thing that we got going on, you know what I mean, to hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm better than you because mm-hmm. you're light skin. I'm not this, I'm not that because I'm dark skin, and that makes, you know, that
yes.
creates further
yes.
division
yes.
within the community. So it's,
yep.
it's very complex. It's not something that we can't conquer. It's just us people are that are in leadership, that are in positions that, you know, such as bridging the gap, such as me, you know, Nicole being
yeah.
an activist, Michael
yeah.
being a leader to organizations. It takes us to set the example and to set the standard for the community because they look at us regardless of what we think, you know, oh, we're not reaching people. No, they're watching us. They're paying attention to us. So we have to set the standard.
Yeah.
We have to walk in that first in order to inspire change and to even preach change. So that's all I got to say to it.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, Nicole, are you back yet? Thank you. And, hey, Mia, that
yeah,
was very beautiful.
Yeah, I got
beautiful.
Disconnected
I mean, hey.
For a second. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. That's why I thought, yeah, no, I saw you where your light went off. That's what I was wondering. Yes, sir. So, I mean, you can come in because I actually was giving the floor to you, and I was saying earlier that before you got disconnected, or actually while you were disconnected, I don't know if you heard me or not, so I'm going to reiterate it again. I was saying that the problem that we have today is, as a lot of people were saying, in our own community, in the African-American community, taking it from a black perspective, I was telling everybody, I wanted you to take it from the Caucasian side as to what you see in terms of what the problem is in the black community and how we can correct it. Like I said, there's no right or wrong. Everybody's opinions count. So you can't hurt my feelings. If you say, hey, Michael, you eating too many damn candy balls, why you so damn slim? I guess I got... I guess I have
no,
to take
I
that.
Think just from my perspective, I think it's more of a systematic thing. Like I said, a lack of funding, education, schools, the schools in black communities, the children aren't set up for the same levels of success, you know, as they are in white communities. I think it's just things like that, the underlying issues. Like, yes, maybe black people are killing black people at disproportional rates, but at the same time, what type of resources are in those communities? And then also, are we looking at the economic status of those communities? Because it is more common for black people to be impoverished in the United States. But if you look at, how about we look at it from not just race, but poverty aspect, and then see how many of the white-on-white, quote, crimes are also in, you know, poverty-stricken areas. I think that has so much to do with it because people are literally fighting to survive, you know?
Yeah, not really. Absolutely. Thank you for that, definitely, Nicole. Thank you for that, because that is your realistic view of, you know, what your learnings and teachings as well as association has taught you. As for the most part, when we look back at this, Brittany, here I'm coming to you now. When we look back at this, Brittany, a lot of us can say, being conservative, that a lot of blacks are killing one another because of self-hatred, blind rage, and they're committing it for a purpose of legitimacy or being recognized. Does that make sense, Brittany, or am I too far out there?
I think that there is a such thing as, like, neighborhood fame and gaining stripes to earn a certain level of respect. Because we see it, and I experienced it growing up. You know, I grew up in an urban neighborhood, and I still stay in an urban neighborhood. But growing up, because I was very articulate, it was frowned upon. So it was hard to be myself, or I felt like it was hard to be myself because I grew up in a household. Yes, it was a single-parent household. However, my mother stressed education. She stressed talking with proper grammar and sentence structures. It didn't make me less black. It just made me articulate. It didn't make my experience in growing up in an urban neighborhood any less valuable than the others. It was just that I was different. So I think that when it comes down to how we operate, we have to, yes, we all know that systemically we are a oppressed group of people. We know that. However, moving forward to be solutionary, we have to say, yes, we are a very targeted demographic or ethnicity, but moving forward, we could do so much better. When you get black people in leadership positions, don't operate in a crab in a bucket mentality. Reach down and help somebody up, because even though you're climbing the ladder to go up, you only going into a population that does not know how to identify with you and your struggles. So when you get up there, you will not be, in some cases, treated equally or understood, or even talking with certain slang language type, you know. They won't be able to identify with that. But if you see that there's a problem, once you get to a leadership position, help the next one up so that they can help the next one up. We could come at an oppression.
Yeah.
We can. We have to do a lot of unlearning of the things that we were programmed to learn. Not being afraid to accept that we don't have to stay where we at. Because sometimes that's a mental thing. If you could reach back and educate and start early, hey, let's get out of this school-to-prison pipeline mentality and let's get back to the Black Wall Street mentality. One thing about it is, yes, we see it on the media. Let's start writing to these media outlets. Let's start showing and protesting that we're not supporting black-on-black violence. We don't want to see another Real Housewives of Atlanta or Love the Pop. We want to see family-based television. We want to see shows like Martin. We want to see shows like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the original, not the one that what we are portrayed to be drug abusers and crooked politicians.
Shame.
We want to see we have more power than we give ourselves credit for. And we have to accept accountability for what we allow to be portrayed as ourselves.
What we allow to go on. That's right. I say. Woo! Boy, I tell you what. Hey, you know what? Y'all know what? This is here. We're going to do, hopefully, next week. Not next week. Actually, this Saturday. But anyhow, we want to go back and do a part two. But before I go there, y'all, before I take another break, I'm not gonna play a music. I'm just gonna go in and let me make a few announcements. But go ahead, brother, brother Calvin, and then we're gonna ask other brothers up there in, 500-110 and 476. What you brothers think?
Yeah,
go ahead, brother Calvin, talk to me.
Go ahead. Yeah, man, I agree with everything everybody is saying. I just challenge really these parents, like, you know, if y'all spending 3 hours on the basketball court, go 4 hours during the week in the library. You know what I mean? It's time for us to start putting these balls down and start putting up these books because, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not,
wow.
You know, and me being a young college student, man, like, and having teammates that, I mean, all they know is basketball. Or, you know what I mean? That's all they know. And we have to get out of that mold. You know what I mean? Because, like, it's not sustainable. Basketball, like, any sport is going to just be done. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to end at some point for everybody. But if you ain't got that mind, can't go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? That's why I try to stress to everybody now. And even, like, you know, we're talking about unity and Black Wall Street and stuff. You know, we are the kings and queens of loose spending. You know what I mean? We're all to blame for that. You know, I know I need to get better at it. And, you know, I think last year, I think blacks in America, was like $8 trillion. So that would make us like the third richest in the land. You know what I mean?
But
we're the kings.
Dang.
We're spending it on, we're spending on cars, clothes, jewelry, the stuff that don't have value after you buy it. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, we're trying to impress somebody that we don't know. We're trying to impress somebody that we do know for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've heard a saying, like, you know, we replace slave chains for, you know, gold chains. You know what I'm saying? So,
hey, man,
so
quit talking about my dog on Egyptian symbol, too. I ain't going to wear it tomorrow, either. You bet you said. That's why you
just,
did
you
that,
know,
man. Y'all quit picking on me tonight, man. That ain't going to work, man.
We just got to be tall, you know. We got to.
No,
be
not really, brother. Hey, yeah, no, I hey. You brother, y'all tonight, y'all lighting up, man. I mean, hopefully, like I said, we can keep this thing going because y'all, we have some definitely beautiful shows. Come on, brother, up there, 5-110. I mean, talk to my.
Yeah.
You don't want to tell us about that Chicago thing?
Yeah. No, this Oakland, but I wanted to go back to that question you had asked. You was like something, I'm paraphrasing, you was like, is the problem that the young black men want to exert their manhood or show they tough?
Right.
But that just means exert their manhood or you like, do they have too much pride? But why should they not? You know what I'm saying? And that's the problem that they don't have the right pride in the right direction. We got to understand with black on black crime, it was orchestrated. You know what I'm saying? Like in my community, where I'm from, it was never Bloods and Crips. What they did was, though, they tore down the biggest project, you feel me, and then sent people into different projects. So then they had to hook up and make different alliances for survival because of the way that they orchestrated it. You know what I'm saying? That's how it happened in Oakland.
Yeah.
Or, like, they shut down the school and then forced people to go to the school in the neighborhood that they're not from.
Right.
So, like, we had tribal warfare, turf beef where we had fight or don't like each other, but now they're forcing us on top of each other in situations where we normally wouldn't be. That's the same thing that's going on in Chicago and why so many killers there. They tore down the biggest project in Chicago. So we got to understand that this is orchestrated. So we have to, you know what I'm saying, look at how they did it and make a plan to undo it. So we got to have something of our own. We have to be the biggest village or community of our own so that they can feel proud of, that they can be ready to fight for it, they can be ready to die for it, recognize who the enemy is. You know what I'm saying? Because what they did was pushes up, you know, crabs, they talk about crabs in the barrel. I can't remember who said that. And crabs in the barrel pulling each other out. Back down, but that's not their natural habitat. You know what I'm saying? So they pushing us in
this
fight. You know what I'm saying? So I think only way that we can save our youth is buy some property of our own and let them feel proud of that rather than feeling proud of Bloods or Crips or Vice Lords or GD or whatever gang it is. You know what I'm saying? They something black owned. We don't have nothing now. No black community in America.
Even to the back door and the piggyback off of the gangs in the neighborhood. Let's not forget that the Black Panthers were affiliated with Crips. It's all in how you do what you do. Growing up, a lot of the times, especially in the 90s, there were drug dealers. Nobody even knew that they were drug dealers. However, they were still buying a prop in their community. They were still giving single mothers grocery money and buying groceries.
Yeah.
It was still when the neighborhood ice cream man came through the neighborhood, they still bought all the kids in the neighborhood. What you see now, the affiliates of gangs, these are not real Crips and Bloods like it used to be. These are people portraying to be in the superiority complex that these young cats look up to because they got the women, they got the gold chains, they got the car, they don't own the property, but they leading these young cats to be trash dummies. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. Because even we could look at the work of Nipsey Hussle, we all know he was a notorious Crip. He unified the gangs. It's not what you do, it's how you do what you do. Sometimes even in being a mental health professional and talking to my young clients is understanding that they might not have mom and dad or even grandmother at the house. So the gang life or the click life is what they feel a sense of family from.
That's right.
So we still have to, no matter what we affiliated with, we have to be a positive, influential being in our community.
Yeah.
To start changing and having uncomfortable conversation and teaching proper conflict resolution. And also showing up and teaching that sometimes, you know, relationships end, and that's okay. But that don't mean that you have to go and keep the baby from the other parent. Then, I mean, you have to kill the other parent because the relationship didn't work out.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that enough in our community. We don't talk about the domestic violence.
Well, we're getting ready to.
We have to start having this conversation.
Yeah. Go ahead, Maya. Definitely. Thank you. Thank you, Brittany. What did you say, Maya?
I was saying, you know, Michael, like, you know, hosted, you know, the domestic violence symposium. We kind of touched on it on here and shared our stories, you know, and our point of views on how to solve, you know, domestic violence because, you know, that's running in the community. You know what I mean? That's put on black, you know, violence right here also that happens, you know, all the time. You know what I mean? And that definitely is something that goes silent. You know what I mean? Nobody talks about that even even in other, you know, communities. They barely even talk about it. It happens a lot, you know, and you know, when you touched on you know, not having the parents there, you know what I mean, to guide them and, you know, the relationship dynamics that happen or have, you know, or it wrapped up in domestic violence. You know what I mean? That's one thing, you know, you can have a child that lives at home with both parents and, you know, mom is beating on dad or dad is beating on mom. Nowadays, they both beat each other. You know what I mean? And they can have those mothers and their fathers there, but they're not there mentally to help those children at the same time. So, yeah, some of them do treat to, you know, to the street life, you know, to out where they do feel welcome. You know what I mean? So in that dynamic with or without the parents, sometimes the child does go to the streets for some type of comfort and then wrapped up into that lifestyle, into that, you know, oh, they've been there for me since day one. My parents wasn't there. You know what I mean? So it's a lot. It's a lot that we have going on within our own community. And that's why I'd be like, we, you know, we got to focus on them. We got to teach them about their heritage. We got to make sure they have something to stand on, some type of foundation. And I like how you brought up, you know, the conflict resolution, you know what I mean? And really kind of, you know, teaching them in general, you know, how to conduct themselves, how to handle, you know, situations and problems, is learning how to walk away from situations that could cost in their life.
That's right, you got to.
They don't know how to walk away from certain things. And that's why get this, you know, violence. And you know, it's, we're saying, like, not about, you know, it's not about if you're from a gang or not, because I even know, you know, a couple people that are still affiliated with gangs that, you know, go out here and help, you know what I mean, the community, or they're yeah. out of that gang, but they have turned into another Nipsey Hussle, you know what I mean, and actually giving
tragedy,
them,
man.
You know, teaching them, hey, you know what I mean, that's not something we need to do, you know what I mean, let's buy property, let's do this, maybe doing it on a small scale, same time, they need support too, you know what I mean, they can probably those young women that are in that lifestyle a lot faster than we can, because they know the ins and outs of, you know, what's going on out there. So that was my take. I did like, I really like the event, though.
Another thing,
thank you,
man. I feel like we found a trend. Enough.
It's wide open. Everybody can jump on in. Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that we don't address in our community is over-sexualizing our youth and protecting pedophiles in the Black community. We really don't address those situations.
Wow.
We don't. We will be quick to jump on the homophobia train, but we won't address the family pedophiles. We have to start calling them out and demanding justice against them, because even if you're 24 and you're talking to a 15-year-old girl, that's still out of order, and we need to start addressing that because that's still a form of black crime.
Come on, man.
So true.
Ain't no excuse for no damn rob that babe of her innocence. I better not see that shit in mine. Boy, let me tell you, don't even get me started.
For real.
Man.
Hey, y'all seen that story that 24-year-old man impregnated a 10-year-old girl, and they tried to take her out of Ohio to a state where they could get her abortion? But I brought that up to say that that was just on the news.
I saw that.
But I wanted to bring that up because that contributes to a lot of the violence and problems in our community,
that's
too.
What we talking
don't
about.
Recognize that a lot of these Mexicans and these Arabs is raping and molesting these little girls, and I don't care if they're giving them a little bit of money, it's still raping and molesting because they too young to understand.
Damn right,
and then they walk around with their mind all warped, violent, and trying to drink away their problem and forget what did happen to them. And so they going into the world fighting, and we don't even recognize it because they don't have nobody to vent to. But a lot of times, man, the store owner is giving these little girls alcohol and doing stuff to them, you know what I'm saying? The Mexicans out there, the immigrant, because the motherfucker that did this, they came and sent him back to Mexico after he had raped and impregnated a 10-year-old girl and confessed to it. This is a lot, though. And so little boys and girls fighting with issues like that. So you talk about a little boy that had been touched on by his uncle or some weird man, and now he trying to show how much of a man he is with his gun nowadays, you know what I'm saying? So the part of sexual molestation and these monsters in our community.
I say,
boy, hey, this is Baba We Topper right here in Oklahoma City, y'all. We're talking about black on black crime tonight. We have a very, very interesting topic, and as y'all heard, and thank you, Brother Jody. And we're going to let some of our other guests, I told you we're going to start every now and then, let some of our other guests who are actual guests, but who actually turning into our radio station. We got 252. I'm not going to give you a whole number out unless you give me permission. But 252, if you want to speak, you can. If you don't, you can continue to listen. It's all up on you. But, again, we want to recognize others to let everybody know that we're in Chicago, Denver, Washington, Oakland, Cincinnati, Philadelphia. Again, so I thank you from Philly. Go ahead on if you want to speak. If not, let us know. All right, I guess you're going to remain silent, but again, just let us know. Again, we're getting ready to open the show. Everybody, this is about that time now. Where everybody have their parting shots. Again, this is Black People Power Radio. Black on Black Crime is our topic. Stop, 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 stop it. It's time for us to stop killing one another and start loving and dividing and protecting and increasing the love, respect, and dignity and recognition of the uniqueness that we can share with one another. Thank you, Sister Nicole, out here, me out and your boy, my co-host, Bridging the Gap. And we want to take this little bit of time and give Nicole her opportunity to give her 3 minutes of parting shots. And after that, I'll make a couple more announcements, and then y'all will get ready to close the show out after everybody gets their 2 or 3 minutes shout-out. I'd like to give everybody an opportunity to, at least now they can talk about what they want. That's why we usually use 23 to 25 seconds, minutes of that time, because we know with that amount of time, we don't everybody just want to keep talking about black on black crime or whatever the topic is. So this is the time of the show. May I talk to me? May I? And then we're going to give it to Sister Nicole, and then after her, we're going to get everybody 2 or 3 minutes. And as always, we'll come back to you, May I, and then I'll close it out. Go ahead, Sister Nicole. Talk to me.
I just really enjoyed the show tonight, per usual, and I hope to see everybody out at our get-together that we're having on Saturday.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good opportunity for all activists and advocacy groups to come together. We've talked about it several times, and we spoke about it at the Justice for Shed rally with the Bridging the Gap crew about how there's so much activism in the state of Oklahoma. There's so many problems in the state of Oklahoma. And if we could just all come together on some sort of common ground and create a movement is what is needed, because they hear us. They know, like Mayat said, well, you may not think that they're paying attention, but they're paying attention to us. But they also been paying attention to us. They know that we're divided. They know that there's a division. They see it. And that's what they're betting on is, you know, that we remain divided and we remain weak. And I just feel like, you know, this is a great opportunity this weekend for all of us to come together and figure out how, you know, we can create a movement of, you know, civil rights in the state of Oklahoma, because it's time again and it's necessary.
Yes, my goodness. Thank you so much for that. Oh, man. Brother Kevin, come on, talk to me, man. What's up with you?
Yeah. Michael, thank you again for having us on the show. The one biggest thing I want to say is with the gangs, we have to stop avenging deaths, because, I mean, it's just a cycle that they want us to keep going on, you know. You know, once you die, you know, you get a little funeral, you know, then they go into their regular lives, you know what I mean? They try to get on your girl or your boy or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People don't care. Like what I've said in the past, I've talked to 10 different inmates. And none of the, and it's all in gangs, and none of them, all of the 10, they said none of the gang members of Texas or have reached out to them, sent money on their books or whatever. So like these people are not down for y'all, what y'all think they are. You know what I'm saying? It's a losing game. You know what I mean? So I think we just got to stop. We just have to stop the cycle, Michael. That's it. You know, just the, you know, but like I said, it all goes back to childhood, you know, not having fathers. You know, 57%, that's a lot. You know what I mean? If not, that's over half of the black youth not having a father. So they grow up angry. They get those words of affirmation from the gangs. You know, but we just said that they don't care about them. So once they do that, when they go to jail, you know, you've done your mission. You know, you're supposed to go to jail. You're supposed to die for this. You're dying over a color. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're dying over something. And people don't care about y'all once you die or you go to jail. You know what I'm saying? Like my brother, like I talked to him a lot, and he said, you know, he's like, man, he's don't nobody care about me. I'm in here. You know what I'm saying? He said, I know he's like six of them tried to hit up my girl since I've been in here. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. They're supposed to be down forever. So what are we really doing? We got to get out of that mode of like I said, playing basketball, football, or gang banging the streets. You know, hustling. We got to get out of that.
Right.
We have to. And what Brother Mel said earlier, you know, it's the people in the community that was, you know, that's doing that. Like we have to be like, hey man, like that's not a good look. Hey, you shouldn't do this. Hey, you shouldn't do that, because this is what happened. You know, there's not a successful drug dealer there. I mean, that's very rare. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
That's
just my challenge. That's to the kids I mentor now. That's just the kids I've been a part. Like, do something different with your life, because the gangs and stuff, like, I've seen a person with my father, my brother, you know, my friends, that it's not the life that you want to live. So that's my biggest deal. Be different. Be a lawyer. Be an entrepreneur. Work at McDonald's, because it's more respect than losing your life at 22 over a color. So that's just all I got to say. So.
Hey, man, appreciate you. Yeah, Ashe, thank you so much for that, brother. That's very, very unique, very nice. All right, brother, 5110, you want to speak? I want to wait a little later. It's on you. You got the floor.
Well, I just want to say, with the violence and stuff that's going on in the community, because we're trying to deal with it here, too. We see how the vice lords, Nikki brought it over, and they're not gangbanging no more. They're coming together, you know, up under the Black Power Coalition.
Right.
You know, we got Blood and Crips coming together under the Black Power Coalition. So one thing we were successful with doing in Oakland, after a 5-year-old boy got killed in his uncle's arms, and a 6-year-old boy got killed in different incidents, got killed in front of a pizza place. So we talked to some high ups in prisons and whatnot, and they was able to make a command from up top, like, if you been shot into a crowd and you come to prison, you don't have no protection. You know what I'm saying? And that's one beautiful thing about having gangs, you know, and having organized and somebody being a boss and being on top. We could get at that bosses. You know what I'm saying, and make some ethical decisions. We can't really end gang violence all the way, but say, don't shoot into no crowds or you get kicked out the gang or something like that. So, like, you know what I'm saying, let's not look at it all as a negative. Let's look at the structures that we have in place and try to utilize both.
Y'all, this is perfect, man. Look here, we're going to have to do a number two next week here, because this is a Oh, man. Come on, brother. 7476. Talk to me. Still on each other, probably doing something. All right, we're going to go to Sister Brittany Washington. She stole my name. I'm going to try to find out. I didn't give you permission to take my name, by the way. We got to look at that.
Hey, we got to stop all this black-on-black balling. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to start it up. Man, we know we're going to start it back
start
up again.
We got to start here right now. Look, Mike, we got to start here right now. We got to lead by example.
Yeah, no, we don't aim. We're going to put that on the back, but we'll leave by example next week. But right now, we're going to get this straight. Yeah, y'all, this is nice.
I want to say this again. Like always, thank you for having Bridging the Gap a part of the show. And, man, to all the listeners that have tuned in.
Oh, man, they be listening.
In your community, even if it's just you taking on a few mentees, even if it's you volunteering to go to these schools and summer day camps, daycare, to teach about unity. You might not know everything, but you know something from life experience. You know what we have lacked or what you've seen that we have lacked as a community. I'm challenging each individual that's listening to this, because if you tuned into this, you believe in something that we're saying. You found it valuable.
Oh, yeah.
Apply it to your life, because you might not be able to change the world, but you could change your city, you could change your state, you could change the street that you live on, and that will impact the next generation that is to come, because they still have a lot more future. Let's make sure that they have a lot more future left. Let's make sure that we have a lot more future left. Because if we're
not here
to be their mentors, then they're going to always be in a chaotic mess. Let's unclutter our community.
I say. Oh, man. Oh, very beautiful. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Bridging the Gap, Fallon always said, one, if we reach one person, we've been successful. You know what I mean? And that's what we try to live by and strive by every day with this Bridging the Gap, like just one person. You know what I mean? And so, like what Brittany was saying, if you know, you can't change the world, everybody's changing, but if you just impact one person, you've done your job. So,
thank God for
having. I just want to say that one little
that's
point. That's one.
Yeah. Hey, that one person could be the next person to change the next 15. What do you mean? Then the 15 out of them, the next 45. Heck yeah, it just takes one. It takes one to raise a village, man. It takes one to get the movement started, like it always has throughout history. It's one brother, sit down, all sister. Hey, you know what we got to do, Bob? Yeah, man, let's go in this together. Just like what y'all did with Bridging the Gap. Hey, Sister Brittany, hey, Kevin. Yeah, what's up, Kevin? Oh, for real, Brittany? Yeah, let's go and do Bridge the Gap. See how it happens? It just takes one mindset and get another person equally to come on that same boat that you're riding on, and things will get better. Go ahead. I'll show you. It takes an idea, a thought. Go ahead, Mayotte, and I'll get ready to close that out to you.
I'll say, so I always look at stuff from the roots. I feel like the roots is where we can change a lot of stuff, you know. Our children, you know, our youth is our roots. They're going to be the ones that inherit, you know, the revolution and inherit what we have, what we're currently trying to, you know, strive for. So we've got to, you know, we're going to pass the torch to them. We have got to educate them. We have got to be there to support them. And I like how Brittany, you know, keeps pointing out, you know, how, you know, the youth, you know, is who we need to reach. You know, the youth need us.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
that sometimes I say, I need somebody to talk to, or I'm dealing with this. You know what I mean? Just going in and, you know, in communicating with them, you know, asking them, how are you doing today? Da 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 da. You know, having dialogue and conversation with them. You don't know how they are going to open up to you about what's going on in their lives. So if we start looking at it, looking at the roots of the problem, looking at what could potentially stop our youth from inheriting, you know, what we're trying to build right now, you know, we will be better set off for the future. We will have a better foundation for them. So when they take up the torches to stand up for injustice or to stand up for their rights, they'll feel empowered because they know, you know, they know what they're doing. They know who they are, and they know what they're capable of. And that lifestyle won't be attractive to them anymore because they know their potential and they know where they go in life. So that's my opinion.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, what everybody, y'all did wonderful tonight, and we should definitely be engaged and give ourselves a round of applause. I mean, because, hey, the phone lines are lighting up, y'all, and we've been averaging, I think it was Fallon asked me the other night about a week ago, how many people are listening. We average about 126 to 2030 listeners a night, y'all. So, again, I mean, it's getting bigger and larger after a while. Like I said, man, what we're going to do is so what's that breakfast club? We're gonna tell you. Look here, man, some new shirts now. Y'all need to get out the way, man. We coming for y'all. You know, well, let's do a little runoff. You know what I mean?
We gotta get the shirts made first, Mike. The We Mean Business.
Yeah.
We gotta get our We Mean Business.
Yeah, get our We Mean. Yeah. I'm putting on the mic and everything.
Yeah. Hey, we got to do it, man. I'm serious, man. We need to do a runoff of them people. They think they're taking up all the Breakfast Club time. We got all these people coming and this, that, and another. Well, we're going to show y'all who we got coming, too. Bottom line. We're going to get our – yeah, matter of fact, y'all, we get ready to do our T-shirts up. Nicole and I were talking about it. I'm going to get with you, man. We're going to get embossed. Our T-shirts were embossed with We Mean Business. That's a slogan. It's just it's about catch on already in our communities and neighborhoods now, all over the world now, just about, because that we want to make sure that every time we end a sentence, we mean business, you know. So, again, thank y'all again tonight. Let me just say a little bit of myself before we close out. Y'all, again, thank y'all. Y'all been wonderful tonight. And, again, we have about 7 minutes, but I'm going to leave a little bit of room for some more guests. They'd like to give a little bit of room and hear us talk in the back room, so we'll take about 5 minutes to be in the back room, but we'll be off the air. However, they still will be able to hear us, and I will be the only one able to talk at them, but I'm not going to do that because our focus is on us in the back room. They still will be able to listen. So let me say this here, y'all. Ghettos, for the most part, is where the majority of our problems hinge from. Let's understand that. Segregation was deliberately perpetrated, for the most part, of separating the haves versus the have-nots. So what do I mean by that then? You have to have a class that's dominated and who is one that is dominated and being dominated by the dominator. So what you do then, like a domino theory, you hit that one domino, and once attached to everything else, all the other dominoes fall in place. Well, it's a strategy that, scientifically speaking, that the powers that be utilize and put in place to keep what's so-called the subjugated people in disarray, in discrimination, lack of job, lack of education, lack of mental resources, lack of independence, lack of owning businesses. So when you think about that, y'all, watch this one. This meant that in order for us to survive as a society, the rich folks are thinking, we're going to have a prison system. Watch it now. The majority and a lot of their food products, their furnitures, and things that cause, and listen carefully, are done from the prison settings. So racism and discrimination is still here, although it's evaporated or erased by paper that's just in name alone, y'all. Okay? And so that's why they come out with segregation, and that's why you have people talking about fighting for civil rights, because the term civil means someone who's understanding, who's compassionate, who's intellectual, who's reasonable, okay? So anybody that's enmeshing you on your right, killing your kids, shooting your baby with your hands up, running in your neighborhood, taking from you, that's not a civil person. So what that is a tyrant. And we have places, as they say, to put our tyrants. Our tyrants are our government officials. Our tyrants are our city officials. Our tyrants are our state officials. And they are the ones that we're fighting against every day. Watch it now. Why do they hate us so much? It's because we're trying to put the fire out of a system that's systemically designed to perpetrate a fraud and to divide and conquer the less fortunate, to have us fighting and bickering at one another. Watch it now, because we are what you call, we create order from the chaos we create. We create order from the chaos we create. That's what the powers that be is letting us know. They have the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and Marines. Again, y'all, tonight, I thank y'all for those parting shots. Tonight, we're going to let me close out here, and then again, we'll go back to our back room. Again, all you listeners today, man, y'all, please love someone tonight. Tell everybody you love them. Call mama up, the brother, because tomorrow is not promised to you. And as Nicole mentioned earlier, we're going to, this coming Saturday, we're going to be out at Ray Trent Park in Dale City, those of you who can. And again, hopefully we can film it live. We'll go on Facebook Live and let everybody see, because it's important that everybody see that community activists are all together rather than I'm over here, Johnny's down the street or whatever. We're going to be having food. We're going to have fun for kids. We're going to have music. We're going to have speeches. We're going to have people just mingling and having a great time and telling everybody about the organization, what they stand for. And if you don't have an organization per se that you're with, tell why you individually is out here today. Because believe me, y'all watch this here, and I'm getting ready to close out. Believe me, somebody is going to be with a listening ear about what you got to say. Because that's life. So again, y'all, may God bless and keep you. May allow his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Good night, my audience. Again, we're going to the back room. We're not gone yet. Y'all going to be able to hear us, but we won't talk back. So that way, when we fade out, don't say I didn't tell you. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Good night, everybody. Just having fun. Y'all, go ahead, y'all. We still got about 6 minutes in the back room, though. Yeah, y'all, this is, oh, man, this is, hey. Yeah, oh, man. Woo, go ahead. Somebody else want to say something, man. Y'all trying to talk me to death. I ain't going to talk no more. Go ahead.
Rick be having me on fire. I ain't going to lie to you.
Say what?
Oh, man. I appreciate that. I be
seeing
out for y'all. I just enjoy the conversation.
Yeah.
Y'all showing
out of it. Same with Kevin, too. Y'all are really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Y'all fired up.
I think collectively, I think that our personalities mesh very well, and it allows for even the uncomfortable conversations to be a comfort to our audience that's listening.
And Nicole come in.
Oh, yeah, with the chicken, man.
I'm telling you, why you talk to chicken, man? Why you do that now? Why you talk about chicken of all things? Oh, man.
When Michael told me about
that was a setup. I've been wrong.
I was like, Michael, I'm white.
Oh, man.
Like I said, you can be an ally and support, you know, but some things like in activism, I just feel like you don't always have to be the forefront. It's the same thing with the women's rights. Like, who wants to see a man as the forefront? And I feel like this with issues like this that in the black community, like I will be there and support you and fight with you, but it's not for me as a white person to be the forefront of that fight.
No, I got you. You're perfect. You're perfect. Yeah, you're right. But see, Nicole, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That's why you already know what I feel about the women's rights movement and abortion, but you don't see me out there advocating it strong about it, but I will. Hey, Mike, we need you to come. Bam. We need you to say something. Boom. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm fighting regardless. You don't see my face. Everybody knows what I do. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And matter of fact, I want to do something about that abortion. We probably do something about that Saturday. I'm gonna do something about that. Yeah, that's very important. I'm glad you mentioned that. Okay, let's do a show on that.
I invited some of the women's groups, so hopefully they show up.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. And then we'll put them on the radio, too. See? Because I know a lot of them want to say what they – nobody likes having a damn goddamn second-ass handful of men telling these women what they can and can't do with their bodies and all. Who in the hell these people think that – man, y'all not God. Who in the hell y'all think y'all are? Damn,
I have a friend that's a she's a native activist, and she was wanting to know if we needed anybody to do a land acknowledgement.
Yeah, all of it, man.
You think you'd be that Fallon will really enjoy that because Fallon is all about the indigenous people. I think.
Oh, okay.
I think that she would really love that.
Okay, because I think that's important that we recognize that. While white men are legislating laws in the state of Oklahoma,
that's
this land is native land.
That's right. That's it. But as you see, they know that. That's why they give the tribal customs certain parts of the land, certain laws of their own. They know they're out there wrong and outlawed. And see, so you're right. If we can just find it, just like the United States Supreme Court, what they do, gave them, they told them the eastern part of the state of Oklahoma still belongs to the natives, and guess what? Now they're trying to beg them and say, man, will y'all let us continue to imprisoning people and let them through our courts and all this here? Oh, now we got y'all do what we say now, huh? You see what I'm saying? So they're recognizing them, and when the court ruled that way, oh, man, it gave them more leeway now. They got more in the trenches of tax without taxation without representation and it's a whole lot that goes along with it. Science and psychology, man. I mean, oh, my God.
I had a – do you know how you just said taxation is theft without representation?
Yeah.
I had an interesting conversation about that with my daughter, Kiara, you know, Shed and I's oldest. She's 17 years old working, and she asked me that question. She said, if taxation is theft without representation, which is supposed to mean you have a vote, you know, she said, why is it that the government is able to tax children under the age of 18 that can't vote?
Bam. Boy, she's
okay.
You got a handful of
buddy.
And I never thought about that. And it blew my mind. It blew my mind.
She watching you, man. You're doing a great job, Nicole. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If more mothers and fathers could get out there and embrace their children, because children are curious at those ages. They don't know. Hell, they ain't lived life yet, but you have. You know what I mean? Talk to them. But we have to educate ourselves because no child wants to ask. Let me tell y'all this, man. I hate to say it. No child wants to ask a parent who don't know as much as they do. They feel embarrassed to even ask them because they know they don't have answers. So, therefore, if I don't have to answer with you, Mama, what am I going to do? I'm going to get it from the street or the next person available. You see? And the first thing when your mama or daddy, boy, get out of my, I'll put the bell. I'll slap you down. Boy, don't come talk to me. I say, go ask somebody else. You see? Because it's a defensive mode. Oh, man, y'all, I mean, this is beautiful, y'all. Oh, man, this is, I'll tell y'all what, man, I'm so lit up now that I'm going to eat all the hamburgers up to Saturday, all the cookies. I'm going to eat all the hot dogs up. Man, what else can I eat?
I know that you're a vegan, right, Mayotte?
I'm transitioning. I'm trying.
Okay. My husband is a chef, I've asked him to make some sort of vegan side for you with organic produce because I noticed your journey and I was like, it sucks because I was vegan for a while and everywhere you go, it's like there's nothing for you.
Really?
So we're making sure that we bring something for you. I promise.
If
you got it.
Look here, man. I'm gonna tell y'all know
we'll
what I'm gonna tell everybody
too,
how y'all
Michael.
Pissed on
There'll
me.
Be hamburgers too.
Okay, all right then. Now we can talk friendly now. Oh, hey buddy, how y'all doing? Oh, look here. Oh, you're watching what y'all watching on TV tonight, Harry? Yeah, buddy. Okay. Now you're talking my language. Hey, I like the lettuce in it when you. Hey y'all know it when the hamburger when you hear that lettuce, it's not real, man. Boy, you ain't nothing
special. Now see, Michael, you're gonna get me all upset because that lettuce, that crunchy lettuce, is iceberg lettuce, and it has no nutritional value.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, no. Oh, man, now you messed up. Look at me. Oh, back to square one again. No, we're not at now. Back to square one. Yeah, you was all right until you said that now. Yeah. Hey, look here. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what none of y'all say. I'm not going no vegan. I got to have my chicken, my hamburger, and I don't give that my beef. I don't give a damn if you like it or not. I'm going to take out running. I'm going to eat mine. You might as well get ready for that.
No, it's an issue of what they use in our meat, which is another topic in what we actually eat and put in our bodies and what they allow us to put in our bodies in the United States. Meat per se isn't the issue. It's what is in our meat in the United States.
You're right. What's it called, a GMO? Yeah,
all of that.
Vegetables these days, neither.
Yeah, that's right. Vegetables are the same way, and you can't even trust the organic labels because a lot of stuff that's organic that's from other countries gets sprayed by pesticides as it crosses the border.
You're right about that.
I told Comrade Jabari, we was talking about that just before we got on air, just before I got on air and he hopped on. I was like, man, I grew up and watermelons had seeds.
Yeah.
And flavor.
You right though, man. You know what? That is right.
Yep.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
I don't even see here now y'all got me scared of watermelon now. Doggone it, I don't know about that. I'm gonna have some suckers and some seed in it. I'm not gonna eat it. That made me think about it. That's sure.
See, now you're about to pull the hippie up out of me, and this is why we need to create our own communities and resources and have our own food sources.
I agree.
But all of those things take time.
We definitely
We got about a minute. Y'all keep talking. Yeah, but we got a minute. Give me a cut us off. We got a minute, so y'all keep talking. So y'all know if we go off, you know why. I ain't talking, y'all. Well,
now
you're
telling us.
Now,
ain't nobody going to talk when you're telling us to talk.
Okay, man, y'all show back. Y'all slick out some words with me, too, man. I noticed that, too, man. That's all right. I'm going to do my study, and next time I come on, every time y'all say it, I'm going to be ready for you. Boom, 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 boom. Y'all going to say, yeah, what? Now, what are you wearing on it today, then? And then, when I'm finally, I'm going to make this guy like I'm famous, huh? Yeah, hey y'all, this has been fun, y'all. Hey y'all, they get ready to pull us off here. We got about 15 seconds. Everybody be blessed, man. Y'all go home and hey, man, and think about me, y'all. Keep me in y'all's prayers, and I will keep y'all in mind. Y'all be blessed. Get ready to cut us off. Everybody have a wonderful night, man. Tell your family you love them. Goodbye, y'all.
All right.